What if the life described in the New Testament, one of indescribable joy, freedom from destructive patterns, and deep peace, wasn't just a spiritual fantasy, but actually attainable? Dallas Willard presents a revolutionary idea. The divine life isn't meant to be admired from afar, but experienced as our daily reality. The gap between our current spiritual condition and the life Jesus promised isn't due to God's unwillingness or our inadequacy. It's because we've misunderstood how transformation actually happens. We live from our hearts, not the physical organ, but the spiritual center where thoughts, feelings, and choices originate. This inner command center shapes how we interpret events, make decisions, and respond to challenges. When someone shows anger or compassion, they reveal what's been cultivated in their heart. The disasters filling our world largely stem from human choices expressing the human spirit. Even when circumstances aren't of our making, our responses matter more than the situations themselves. A well-cultivated heart can transform situations that defeat others. Everyone undergoes spiritual formation, religious or not. Our spirits are constantly being shaped, either aligning with God's nature or becoming distorted. As C.S. Lewis noted, each person will eventually become either a radiant creature we'd be tempted to worship or a horror and corruption only seen in nightmares. Our inherent greatness makes our ruined condition tragic. Even damaged, we're capable of dignity and beauty that sometimes masks the deeper disorder within. Modern culture has lost the language to describe this condition, avoiding terms like sin that explain the root cause. Being spiritually lost means being out of place, valuable but not where we belong in God's world, not integrated into divine life. Spiritual transformation follows a pattern that applies to any significant personal change. Think about learning Arabic. You'd need a clear vision of what speaking it would be like and why it's valuable. This vision must grip you, pulling everything else required along with it. Beyond vision, you'd need intention, conscious choice to make it happen. Finally, you'd need means, specific practices that bring the vision to reality. We can remember this pattern with the acronym VIM, Vision, Intention, and Means. Without properly establishing all three elements, Christ simply will not be formed in us. The widespread failure to attain Christian maturity stems from this fundamental issue. Believers aren't guided into the vision, intention, and means that would enable them to naturally progress toward Christlikeness. Instead, their inner condition remains substantially unchanged, leaving them constantly battling themselves. Alcoholics Anonymous demonstrates this pattern perfectly. Envisioning a desirable state, sobriety, making an intention to realize it, and applying means, the 12 steps, to fulfill that intention. AA's program works because it engages essential structures of human nature that God designed. As we first turned away from God in our thoughts, so it's in our thoughts that heart renovation begins. Our ultimate human freedom lies in selecting what our minds dwell upon. Those genuinely seeking God will find Him making Himself known to them. Ideas are more than mere beliefs. They're pervasive patterns of interpretation, often operating without our awareness. Our idea system is largely a cultural inheritance, creating a symbolic reality superimposed on material reality. Transformation involves replacing these worldly idea systems with the perspective Jesus embodied. Changing governing ideas is one of life's most painful experiences. Genuine conversion can permanently alter relationships, as Jesus forewarned. Ideas form primary strongholds of evil in human life, determining how we interpret reality and even blinding us to what's plainly visible. Satan focuses on manipulating ideas rather than direct force, as demonstrated when he tempted Eve with the idea that God couldn't be trusted. What's your concept of God? It's the single most important thing in your mind. Feelings are both essential and problematic for human life. Unlike thoughts that invite examination, feelings demand attention and assume their own validity. willpower alone cannot master emotions. Those dominated by anger, fear, or wounded emotions typically believe these feelings must be satisfied. A key transformation step is genuinely desiring different feelings, wanting to not want what you currently desire, and wanting what you don't currently feel. In a Christ-transformed life, love, joy, and peace become the dominant emotional tone. These aren't mere feelings, but conditions of the whole person that naturally express themselves as patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Our will, that dimension by which we become an underivative source in the world, must transform from chaotic duplicity to single-minded devotion to God. While we can't directly change thoughts and feelings in the moment, we can influence what will be available in future choices. This is why we're responsible for our character, revealed through our long-term behavior patterns. The body stands at the center of spiritual life, a surprising concept for many. While not inherently evil, our bodies often hinder us from doing what we know is right. For most people, the body governs their life, creating the central problem in spiritual formation. Our body is our original domain of responsibility, providing us with family, gender, language, culture, and talents. When our heart awakens to God, old programs continue running contrary to our new heart, primarily in our body. Transforming the body is essential to Christlikeness. Equally vital is our social dimension. We need assurance that others are for us to achieve stable living. When this forness exists, human circles of sufficiency emerge. These circles are fragile, ultimately needing rootedness in the only truly self-sufficient circle, the Trinity. Spiritual formation is always profoundly social, never merely private. Anyone thinking it's just between me and God misunderstands both. Jesus gave a clear mark of spiritual formation. We become people who love one another. The soul, our life center, governing all dimensions of self, must find its rest in God. For most, the soul runs amok as lives fall into chaos. Enslaved to desires, bodily habits, or blinded by false ideas, souls cannot find consistent truth or harmoniously pursue good. The transformed person differs primarily in their inner life. Their thoughts center on God's greatness and loveliness. Emotionally, they exhibit love, joy, and peace even in suffering. Their will aligns with goodness, their bodies instinctively do good, and their relationships reflect transparency and genuine fellowship. Believers commonly err by assuming we must accomplish these things without inner transformation. But as Jesus trains and cleanses us, our resistance to sin flows from seeing its true nature, not from fear of punishment. A virtuous and happy life is available to all. As John Wesley noted, true spirituality enables us to enjoy God and ourselves, becoming lovers of all, contented in our lives, and facing death with calm assurance of victory through Christ. This isn't religious fantasy. It's the life your heart was designed for.